I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen on, you motherfucker.
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
My name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 82. And boy, I'm glad to be here today because I'm getting to try some Chinaco Añejo 30-year anniversary tequila for the first time. Oh my gosh, what is that going to taste like? But wait, before we do that, welcome to the show, Bart Cop Radio, seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio Networks. We have to do that for the sponsors. But yes, we're really looking forward to this. You just can't imagine what it's like to be so in love with a liquid and then have someone come up and tell you that there's a better version of that. Oh my goodness. We've been on our tequila hunt probably, what, 4 years? 5 years? I can't remember. I'm trying to think if... At the turn of the century, if I did a shot of Chinaco when it hit midnight. But I just don't know. If I had more time, I'd go look it up, but I don't, so I won't. Okay, here we go. Got to get this out of the way, because this is a shorter show today. This is all going to fit on one CD. For you CD buyers out there, this is all fit on one CD. Okay, here we go. First, got to tell you about the bottle. Nice. It's a different shape bottle than your regular Chinaco. Of course, they couldn't just put out a regular shape bottle. But this is tall and skinny, and once you take the cork out of the top, it's got a glass topper, stopper, something that goes in place of the cork. Now, it's hard to imagine you get an airtight seal with glass on glass, so I may keep the cork in there. Maybe the glass top is just for show, and yeah, I'll be showing everyone that walks in Casa de Bart, my prized bottle of Chinaco that I got from Scott. Thank you, Scott. I'm sorry I didn't get a piece of this, Scott. Okay, here we go. After much ado, going to take a sip of the 30-year Chinaco, which, as I said on the page the other day, it hadn't aged 30 years. This is 7 years in the barrel. See, regular Chinaco, they put it in a barrel for 3 or 4 years, and it soaks up, you know, the apple, the papaya, the mango, the wildflowers, and this has been double soaking. So it should taste double good. Matter of fact, I'm kind of anticipating it's going to taste like normal Chinaco, but it's time to find out. Here we go. Oh, and I've got it in my official Tommy's Tequila Bar snifter, so you're not going to hear the cork this time. I know some of you love that cork sound. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's good. Wow. I'm going to have some more of that. Oh, that's so good. It tastes like concentrated Chinaco. It tastes like it's, well, been distilled. It's like they took some Chinaco and took some of the water out of it, but there's no water in Chinaco. Hard to explain, but it's just, it's got more of everything. More apples, more mangoes, more papaya, more wildflowers. Try that again. You know, if you're not used to sipping the fine tequila, what you might want to try sometime is just get enough in your mouth to turn into a gas and then exhale the gas through your nose. Sometimes if you do too much, you choke a little bit, but oh my, is that nice. Oh my gosh. Very, very nice. Boy, this bottle is going to last a year, I'll tell you what. You know what I ought to do is I ought to only do a shot of this when a Democrat does something right. So in that regard, this bottle may last forever. Unless we can get a Democrat to do something right or do something brave or stand up or do his damn job or come to work. Is that possible? Can we get a Democrat to do that? This bottle may last forever. Ah. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Okay, can't waste too much time. On with the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
couple days ago in the paper, they had a collection of editorial comments from around the country on the confirmation of this crazy bastard, John Roberts. And I am so sick of everybody talking about what a great, smart, good-looking, friendly, decent man this is. Jesus Christ, what is wrong? Democrats across the spectrum have just given up. Totally and completely. I don't understand it. But let me give you a couple of these. The Bangor Daily News, Bangor, Maine, in an editorial. If opponents were really listening, they would do well to save their protests for Bush's next Supreme Court pick. In other words, it doesn't matter that Bush is putting a young guy on the court for life, that we don't have, you know, the very best we can do is guess that he's going to vote like Scalia and Thomas. And they're saying, don't worry about it. Look past this. Look at the next one. The New York Horror Times editorial. President Bush will soon nominate a replacement for O'Connor. Democrats have been calling for Justice O'Connor to be replaced with another centrist Republican by subjecting Roberts to tough questioning. Hello? What hearings did you watch, New York Times? Tough questioning? I didn't see a single senator ask a question that was Bart Cop worthy. Not a single damn question. They always went on with these open-ended, loopy questions about, oh, what you did, he did. Nobody put him in a box. Nobody framed a question and threw him inside of it. You know, I mentioned the Bart Cop quiz. You get boxed in pretty effing quick in the Bart Cop quiz. First question, left to right. Second question, left to right. Third question, left to right. Boom. You've just built yourself a box, dude. Now, I'd like to see you get out. I'll give you $20. You can get out of that box. But no, no senators. They don't have any clue. They don't have any brains. They don't have any fight. They don't have any kind of rhetorical skills. They've never met a debate. They've never been in an argument before. They have no fucking clue how to win anything. Tough questioning, the New York Times says. They are sending a message that if the president chooses a far-right nominee, he can expect a major fight. Oh, yeah. We're hereby serving notice, Mr. Bush. You send us a really, really tough right-winger, and by God, we're going to surrender 5 minutes later than usual. By God, that's what we're going to do. Rah, 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 rah. Sons of bitches. The Portland Oregonian, who you think would kind of be half-sane, here's their editorial. Senate confirmation hearings are like family dinners. The most important topics are usually taboo. Abortion? Religion? Save it for the car on the way home. Now what the fuck does that mean? You're going to put this bastard, it's a lifetime appointment, and we don't have a clue what he's going to do. And it's a lifetime appointment. Hey, I know. I want to be put in charge of General Motors starting tomorrow morning. And I don't know a thing about cars, and you don't have any right to ask me what I know about cars, but I want a 40-year lifetime appointment to head General Motors starting tomorrow. And if anyone's got a problem with that, take it up with the Portland Oregonian Editorial Board. Shel McCarthy, columnist, Newsday, New York. John Roberts sure is likable. In his confirmation hearings, he came across as smart, pleasant, and thoughtful. But the hearings brought out a darker side of Roberts when Ted Kennedy called his mean-spirited writings that infused his mean-spirited view that infused some of his writings. A conservative like Roberts is all we're going to get from Bush, and he's sure to be confirmed. We can hope these hearings will jar his sensibilities a little bit. Help him understand how his decisions affect real people and encourage him to display more modesty, humility, and humanity. We'll all be watching. That's their idea of fighting this son of a bitch's confirmation. We'll all be watching. Isn't that what the Jews said of Hitler? We're going to be watching you, Mr. Hitler. Don't you tie none of that. No. And then when he does, what are you? We're watching you. What the fuck does we're watching you? How does that stop the bad stuff from happening? This is Newsday's idea of surrender. We've heard the Bangor, Maine Daily News' idea of surrender. We've heard the New York Times surrender. We've heard the Portland Oregonian surrender. We've heard Newsday surrender. Who's next? Paul Rosenzweig for the Heritage Foundation in the Hartford Courant. At the risk of heresy, I want to ask a simple question. Why are we having these hearings? After all, there's little doubt that Roberts will be confirmed. Hearings should be about qualifications of the nominee, not public posturing for interest groups. Maybe we should save the political speeches to the floor of the Senate and do away with the theatrical production of minor confirmation hearings. In other words, Paul Rosenzweig is saying, why are we getting the hand job? And I agree with him. This is a big-ass dog and pony show. everybody knew up front. I told you way the hell months ago. The Democrats cave up front. That's all they can do. And so the editorial writers or the newspaper writers around the country, the tough questions come from the... Oh, they're so tough. Oh, they're so tough. The questions are so tough. Oh, the Democrats. Oh, they're grueling, unrelenting, smashing. Their tidal wave, their tsunami of toughness. Oh, it's so tough. Oh. And then they vote, yeah. I don't get it. Ellen Goodman, syndicated columnist in the Boston Globe. Isn't this amazing? New York Times, Portland, Oregon, Boston Globe. We can't get any Democrats anywhere with any fight. We only got one Democrat fighting now, and he's in Oklahoma. Ellen Goodman, Boston Globe. How did we end the summer stuck between a Roberts and a hard place? Oh, you slut. Here we go again. Trying to be cutesy. Oh, I'm stuck between a Roberts and a hard place. That is such a fucking 95-year-old cliche. You idiot. What's wrong with you? I can't believe they pay you money to write bullshit cliches. Oh, Christ, I'm the best writer. I'm the best writer in America. I just am. God damn it. We spent months poring over 60,000 pages from the National Archives and reams of personal profiles for clues about how John Roberts would rule on the highest court in the land. The bottom line is that barring some last-minute photo of John Roberts popping out of a cake at a KKK rally smoking crack, that wouldn't hurt this guy. Democrats would still be afraid to go against the guy. He's going to be confirmed. And if he were magically derailed, who would be next? John Roberts may turn out to be as far right as People for the American Way says, but he also might be as good as it gets under this administration. So, if Bush wants to put a murdering, rapist, Nazi, white supremacist bastard on the court for life, that's okay. That's okay, because this is what we get from Bush. So that's okay. So let's all vote for the son of a bitch. I don't understand. If they told Bush, no, send someone qualified, next, rejected, next, that Bush could send someone out. No, send someone qualified. Send us somewhere near the middle, Mr. President. Send us someone who is somewhat like O'Connor. Send that one up, Mr. We're going to reject the next 25 nominees unless you send somebody. You could save the time. You could send up a guy we'll accept now. Oh, but you know what they do then? Then they go have a meeting with Lieberman and Biden. And maybe they already did make a backdoor deal with Lieberman and Biden and Schumer and some of these others. Oh, okay. Tell you what, we'll hold hearings and we'll ask a bunch of stupid asshole questions and we'll get the press to say that we were really tough on the guy and we'll end up voting for him because it's a nice thing to do because the president ought to be able to have anyone in there. See, this. How do we know that Roberts is any different from Brownie over at FEMA? Roberts is, I guarantee it, Roberts was appointed because he's loyal to Bush. That's number one. So if Bush gets caught, say the Democrats get the House back in 2006 and they impeach Bush, well, Roberts is going to protect him. Bush is invulnerable. He's stacking the court. He's stacking the jury. Nobody sees it. The Democrats don't care. How do the Democrats ever expect to win another election if the Supreme Court is packed with Bush loyalists like Brownie, people who have no qualifications? We don't know if this guy does or not. Ask any Democrat, they'll say he's the smartest, wisest man ever in the history of time and space. But how do we know that this guy isn't just another Brownie like over at FEMA? As far as we know, he is. But the Democrats just give him the blank okay up front. How did I get to be a Democrat?
I love women and everything. I'm just finding I'm not, like, compatible with them. You know what I mean? You ever just feel that? Like, women have, like, too much energy for me. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have a day off when you have a girlfriend. You ever notice that? It's almost like they see that open day. They're like, oh, my God, let's go fill it up with shit. No, then they just come at you with one horrible idea after another. Horrible ideas. Like, you want to make some sandwiches and go to the park? You want to go to the Container Store, get some containers for your t-shirts? This is the worst one. Ever get this one? Want to go to brunch? You want to go to brunch on Sunday? And inside you're like, fucking no! But you can't say that, right? You got to keep them happy. So what do? You agree. Like, yeah, let's go to brunch. What a great idea. Why would you want to sleep in on a Sunday when you can go pay $18 for eggs? Now you think it. Now you think it. Then we can sit around and listen to your friends have moronic conversations about the eggs. Like, is that pesto? Is that pesto in your omelet? Oh, it's asparagus. It's asparagus. I thought it was pesto. Oh, you just want to flip the whole fucking table over? It's horrendous.
Letter to the editor, U.S. Hoard Today. Take Reins in Crisis, which is a pretty stupid headline for this letter. I'm glad that President Bush is finally accepting responsibility for the federal government's response during the aftermath of Katrina. In hindsight, Bush have taken charge of the situation in New Orleans from the beginning, but who knew at that time how incompetent the mayor and governor would be during a crisis? Well, isn't that something? While they kept buses idle and turned away rations, they had the nerve to go on TV and blame Bush. What a couple of hypocrites. Bush should have told local leaders a long time ago to step aside and let someone, anyone, who knew what he or she was doing, take over. It's painfully obvious that the mayor and governor are in way over their heads, a monkey named James Van Treese from Indianapolis has said. Well, let me ask you a question, James. Did the hurricane wipe out the federal government? No. The hurricane wiped out the city government and, to some extent, the state government. Once you wipe out New Orleans and then half the people from New Orleans go to Baton Rouge, you're left with very little to work with. What'd they say, a third or a half or something of the New Orleans cops failed to show up for work? You know, the biggest problem we have with the aftermath of Katrina is that there's not one news source in this whole damn country that we can trust. Not one single source is whore-free. It would be nice if they just had a Democratic network and a Republican network. Well, they have Fox, but there's no Democratic counterpart to that. But at least then we would get both sides of the story. But there's been so much bullshit and outright lies and half-assed reporting that nobody knows anything. I heard somebody say that those buses that we've all famously seen sitting in the water, they were done. They'd taken all the people who went to the bus stop and drove them out of town, and they came back for more, and there was no other people, so they parked the buses. Now, I can't tell you if that's true or not. I wasn't there. But the people that were there, we can't trust to tell the damn story, and that pisses me off. But the idea that this guy thinks that the mayor and the governor should have done something. You know, I pretty clearly remember the mayor of New Orleans saying, it's time to get off our ass and send us some help. Let's quit making speeches and send us some water, send us some food, send us some clothes, send us something. I mean, what the hell is a man supposed to do? How prepared can any single city be for a major catastrophe if the local government is wiped out? What is the mayor supposed to do? Personally hand out bottles of water? And no matter what you say, if you can put together a list of 100,000 complaints against the mayor and the governor of Louisiana, but nothing excuses Bush playing golf and playing patty cake with John McCain for 4 days while the people were starving and dying of thirst. Nothing explains that, and nobody has explained it. But it's so easy to scream insults. Well, you know, the mayor of New Orleans is a black guy, so he's got to be stupid. He was probably having sex with a white girl when the hurricane hit. So that just proves why you can't let a nigger into government. I think that's what they're saying. Believe all this subtext about, oh, the local people. Yeah, the local people were wiped out. Maybe you can't handle something when you're wiped out. Jeez, that makes me mad. But it's just too bad. We can't get the truth from the New York Whore Times. We can't get the truth from the Washington Whore Post. We can't get the truth from Time or Newsweek or anybody. CNN, God knows, Fox News was screaming some of the loudest at Bush. But we just, nobody can be trusted. The honest people weren't there, and the people that were there are whores. So we're left years, it's just like everything. Years will go by and we still aren't going to know why Bush failed to act. We're still not going to know the truth about the buses were there or the buses weren't there. Or, you know, if you're 85 and have a broken back or whatever, you got amputated legs, it's not really easy to walk to the bus stop with amputated feet. But somehow, the people that were stuck in these nursing homes, they were supposed to knock it off and go find a bus somewhere. And meanwhile, the federal government just stood there. And this guy says, Bush should have told local leaders a long time ago that he was in charge. Well, he did. It's called the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act spells out, if the shit hits the fan, Bush is in charge. That's what the Patriot Act says. They've absolutely refused to give anybody any power. It's all in Bush's hands. All of the power is in Bush's hands. He can murder people. He can take away any of your civil rights he wants. He can deny you the right to a trial, deny you the right to an attorney, deny anything at all. He deny your a hearing, an arraignment. He can deny anything to anybody at any time for any reason. And they're saying, why didn't Bush act sooner? Well, yeah, that's our question too. Why didn't Bush show up? But it's so easy to blame the locals, especially when one of them's a darkie. Can't trust them darkies. Everybody knows that. Another letter to the editor. Leaders' right to concede their missteps. I am a registered independent with no party loyalty. That's a lie right there. You don't write a letter to the editor because you're down the middle and you see both sides equally. That doesn't work. This guy said one sentence and he's got one big lie. But I applaud the courage and leadership President Bush displayed by stepping up to the plate and saying, to the extent that the federal government didn't fully do its job right, I take responsibility. And now, whoa, Nelly, back the truck up. Did you see... The words themselves don't tell you a whole lot, but if you saw Bush say that, oh, I'll bet you could write an entire book on his body language. He stuck his hands out to either side and kind of was seesawing his head back and forth and looking away like you might do. You know, if you're a kid and you get caught doing something and your mom's scolding you and you kind of kick the dirt and you look away, well, yeah, it was my baseball that went through the window. You know, Bush, he clearly did not want to apologize. The apology clearly was not from the heart, although Donna Brazile says it was. Oh, my God, she loves her president so much now because he's so honest and he's opened his heart to the black community. Jesus Christ, Donna, how much was the check? And who wrote it? Karl Rove or Poppy? Jesus Christ. I don't mind people saying good things about Bush if they mean it. But the idea that Bush speaks from the heart, please. That Mary Cahill ran the Kerry campaign and Donna Brazile ran the Gore campaign. Don't we need a wartime consigliere here? Are women a little too nice to be in politics like this? It just seems like if the women are going to run things, it's, oh, well, no, it all depends on what color tie you have, sir. It doesn't matter what you say. Don't be answering those mean-spirited attacks with mean-spirited attacks. That's just mean. Can't go down that road. I'm sorry. And if you women don't like me saying this, well, then come up with a wartime consigliere that's female, and I'll listen to your point of view. But we need someone in there that's tough. We need a fighter. We need someone that wants to lash back when lashed at. But I don't see that in Donna Brazile. I sure don't see it in Mary Cahill. And I doubt if Hillary's going to hire a female campaign director. But we'll have to wait and see. But back to this dumb letter. And it was about time that both the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana took responsibility too, as they did on Wednesday. There was no one person or agency on which to assign blame regarding the missteps in providing proper relief to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Bullshit. Bush has in his hands complete authority and tens or hundreds of billions of dollars. And he effing sat there. And he played golf. And he played patty cake with McCain. And he went bike riding. And he did all this stuff instead of doing his damn job. I don't remember the mayor of New Orleans going to play golf between that Sunday and that next Friday when the troops showed up. I don't remember Governor Blanco going to play patty cake in some other state. Everyone in positions of power dropped the ball. Bullshit. In our last show, we talked about if I'm 6 hours late leaving the house and you have to run out of your house and go back and get your keys, we're not equally late. That's just bullshit. But anyone, and this is the monkey that says he's nonpartisan. Oh, I don't have any stake in this. I just want to say the Bush is the most courageous man ever, and there's a lot to blame. Yeah, right. What makes a person a great leader is facing adversity with the same skills he or she uses in day-to-day governing. What kind of hand job bullshit sentence is that? In the case of the mayor and the governor, they have shown their constituents and all Americans that they realize they made mistakes. Well, when the worst storm in American history devastates your town, yeah, I think mistakes are kind of the order of the day. When you're the guy that got wiped out, when you're 1,000 miles away at your compound with your hundreds of billions of dollars sitting in your lap and you fail to act, that's a little different than the mayor of a wiped out town. What's wrong with people? Take away the skin of the mayor of New Orleans, this would probably be an even fight, but you know how dumb them niggers are. That's what this all gets down to. Bush is great because he's white, and the idiot nigger fucked up. Isn't that what we're seeing in almost every story we read? If only the darkie had taken his job seriously, but no, he was too busy pointing fingers. Says here they used questionable judgment, and they took for granted assumptions that did not come to fruition. Whatever that means. Americans are forgiving people. We realize our leaders are not perfect or flawless. Richard Unger, Sarasota. Hey, Richard, have you lost a kid in Iraq? I wonder if that's what it gets down to. When they send your kid to Iraq and he comes home in 3 different body bags, are you going to say, well, our leaders aren't perfect and be done with it? I don't think so. Now, here's kind of a counter letter. Next apology for Iraq. In accepting blame for the Katrina crisis, Bush seems to have finally realized the importance of acknowledging mistakes. Now that he's admitted fault in New Orleans, when will he take responsibility for his mismanagement of the war in Iraq, says Lloyd Truffleman, New York. All this on the same page. U.S. Whore Today. Extent of blame to bear. Newscasters and newspapers have been almost celebratory in announcing that Bush, who never accepts responsibility for any mistakes or shortcomings, has finally accepted some responsibility for the pathetic response to Katrina. Call me a skeptic, but Bush accepted responsibility to the extent that the federal government didn't do its job right and fully. After Bush finishes investigating himself and assigning 50% of the blame to the governor and 50% of the blame to the mayor, there's really no extent of responsibility left for him to bear. About the only good news I see coming out of this is Bush's approval. His disapproval rating is 58%. Now, that's pretty high. I don't remember disapproval ratings coming in on presidents until now, but maybe, and it's funny how the disapproval is not tied to the approval. I mean, they're both, I guess, going to get near under 100%, but if the disapproval is 58, you would figure the approval is 42, but no, it doesn't happen that way. Here's one that the Clinton haters are going to love. And oh, there's a lot of Clinton haters. Oh, and they call themselves Democrats, you know. Some of you Clinton haters, now this is just some of you, so I'm not picking on you. But some of you Clinton haters remind me of Christopher Hitchens. Oh, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I just hate the Clintons. I hate their guts. And Maureen Dowd. Oh, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I just hate the Clintons. I hate their guts. Or Andrew Bareback Sullivan. I'm a liberal Democrat, but I just hate the Clintons' guts. And all three of them love George Bush. Oh, they just love George Bush. And they're liberal Democrats, and they hate Clinton. And they love Bush. And they're liberal Democrats. And they hate Clinton. And they love Bush. And they're liberal Democrats. They hate Clinton. They love Bush. And they're liberal Democrats. And it just keeps going on like that. If you're a liberal Democrat and you got something bad to say about the Clintons, go right to the front of the line. It's like being at the comp line in Vegas. You get all those 200 people standing in line, you all step aside. We got a liberal Democrat that hates the Clintons, so he's going right to the front of the pack. Give him a microphone. Give him a whole bank of TV cameras. We're putting you on live. Go! And then they start spewing that anti-Clinton hate, and it just goes and goes and goes, because God knows you can make an extra nickel hating the Clintons, and you can tell them the truth. An extra nickel's everything in America, the whore country. Okay, here we go. The name of it is Blame Bill. Pat Robertson, Christian fundamentalist, and Osama bin Laden, Islamic fundamentalist, don't see the difference. What has brought us to the state of degeneration on both sides is clear, and I can only blame one man, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is the evil Antichrist. This is me talking now. Oh, he had sex. Oh, my God. You remember how many times, it's all in the back pages, Dr. Laura would say, what does it matter if you're making a whole lot of money and your kids got health care and they're happy and normal and well-adjusted and you got a great job and you got a great house and everything in your life is great? What does all that matter if the president is having sex? What does all that matter to you? Well, God damn it, now we're finding out. As far as we know, the president's not having sex. Of course, no one's put him under oath and threatened every woman he's ever met with dying in prison if they didn't give something up on him. But right now, allegedly, the president is not having sex, and we got no jobs, and they're foreclosing on our house, and the new bankruptcy bill is going to crush you, and we lost a kid in Iraq, and we lost some cousins in New Orleans. I can't get a job, and the kid's got to quit school to go work for some pizza parlor or flipping burgers or something else. But at least the president's not having sex. Isn't that what Dr. Lauren Rush and Michael Medved and all those sumbitches said? That how can we live in a society where the president has sex? How could we dare do that? Christ, in France, the president takes his girlfriend on vacation, and they smile. They wave from the boat. Hi, I'm corking the young babe here. Yet somehow France survives. Okay, let's get back to blaming Clinton. Without his White House indiscretion, Al Gore and or John Kerry would today be president of the United States. You know, this reads just like a letter we had on oldbarkup.com about a week ago. Somebody was blaming Clinton for Gore losing. Somebody was blaming Clinton for Kerry. The Clintons are just the Antichrist. They are the seeds of all that's wrong in this world. If only it hadn't been for the Clintons, oh, God, we'd be so much better off. Oh, my God. If either of these two were president, we would not be in a war with Iraq, and we would be economically strong in world markets. Well, you don't want to blame any of that on Bush just because we're hated around the world, and he got us into a war that we didn't need, or that John Kerry and Al Gore laid down instead of going to work. They swore they were going to fight hard. Even that damn Kerry even said he was going to turn over every rock. You know, hey, how about turn over the one rock that says, don't concede? They were pretty quick to turn over that concession rock. John, after a lifelong registration as a Republican, I changed to Democrat upon my retirement because of the severe economic impact the Republican policy has had on my standard of living. I also have, from the start, disagreed with U.S. initiating the war in Iraq. I really don't care what the political party the next president is affiliated with, as long as he or she does not answer, is not another rich Texas oil tycoon. Democratic Lyndon Johnson's legacy in Vietnam and Bush's legacy will be the war with Iraq. Both are losers. But it's somehow Clinton's fault. How is it Clinton's fault? Talk about Clinton cost Gore the election. If Gore had accepted Clinton's help, Clinton was still in the 70s popularity-wise. And Gore said, no, I want to do this my own way. Yeah, I want to lose this without the most popular politician in the world helping me. That's what Gore said, and he did. He lost it without Clinton's help. And then Kerry did the same thing. Clinton's triple bypass surgery probably hurt Kerry a little bit there too, but Kerry didn't want to fight. Kerry didn't want to do anything right. Kerry hired a vice president who was afraid to attack too. Geez, if you can't defend yourself, can you defend the country? You know how many thousands of people thought that to themselves? If Kerry can't defend himself against the Swift boaters, how's he going to defend us against Osama and 100,000 religious handjobs bent on killing themselves? But no. It's all Clinton's fault. Everybody knows that. It's all Clinton's fault. Oh, God, what are we going to do with them Clintons? How are the Clintons still alive? Oh, the harm they brought to America. Because everybody knows that blowjob was so much more harmful than the 2,000 soldiers that are dead in Iraq. Son of a bitch. Where are the priorities in this country? It's okay if we have 9/11. It's okay if we have Iraq. It's okay if we don't go feed the darkies after they lose their food and water. But at least he's not having sex, and that's the only thing that counts.
I'm trying to learn to pick my battles when I date girls. I usually argue with women all the time, man. I'm stupid like that. You know? Like, I dated this girl one time. She was, like, really into, like, women's issues. So we used to always have these dumbass arguments. Like, one time she came up to me. She goes, okay, explain this to me, Bill. Why does a guy make more an hour to do the exact same job, huh? I go, I'll tell you why. Because in the unlikely event that we're both on a Titanic and it starts to sink, for some fucked up reason, you get to leave with the kids and I have to stay. Yeah, that's why I get the $1 more an hour. Think about it. If there's a house fire, it's always women and children first. I got to stand there with like the back of my shirt on fire going, let's go, people, let's go, let's go. So that's how I look at it. No, it's a dollar an hour surcharge. That if something fucked up happens, either I can't leave or I got to like get in the way of it to give you a head start. Like, rabbit dog, run, honey. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. You hear a bump in the night, I got to go check it out. Like, yes, he does have a knife. Anytime there's a hostage situation, who do they negotiate for first? Well, at least let the women and children go. Well, what about me? Bullets hurt me, too. Why the fuck do I got to stay in the vault?
Here's a letter from a guy named Jim Collingsworth in Cowetta, Oklahoma. No, actually, it's called Coweta, but when the newcomers come to town, they call it Cowetta. Take back our tax cut. As a lifelong Republican and small business owner, I've never met a tax cut I didn't like. But with projections of federal expenditures on Katrina relief approaching $100 billion, on top of the billions of dollars being spent in Iraq and Afghanistan, I no longer feel comfortable accepting a reduced tax burden for myself today, knowing full well that my children will get the bill tomorrow. Now, what this guy is saying is, I'm a Republican, but please, we're going to spend the money. We're either going to pay for it ourselves, or we're going to say, screw it, make the kids pay for it. And you know, Bush's rationale is we'll all be dead in the future, so there's no reason to worry about a bill. We might as well run that credit card crazy, because we'll all be dead someday. And if our kids end up having to pay this bill, F them. They need to learn a little hard work. He's probably thinking of them damn twins when he says something like that. Oh, them twins got plenty of money. We'll let the next generation pay for it. Okay, back to the bill. Back to the letter. The centerpiece of Bush's policy in his second term before being eclipsed by Katrina was Social Security reform. In speeches across the country, Bush has stressed the obligation that we have to our children to not saddle them with smothering deficits in the future brought about by Social Security insolvency. The same logic should hold true for the government spending in general. Isn't it amazing that Bush is the biggest spender in all of time and space and history? And every time he makes a speech, it says, we can't burden our children with our debt. Hey, asshole, quit spending money. It's pretty simple. I remember the thing. In the early 90s, I was on Prodigy. And they had an encyclopedia, something they were hooked up to. And for just a gag one day, I punched in Reagan. And they said Reagan was the president of, up until recently, the party of fiscal sanity. I always thought that was cool, that the Democrats have this reputation of being the big spenders, but Reagan spent more money than every president combined in his two terms, and now Bush has spent more money than every president combined in his 5 years. And he's the biggest spender of all time, yet he's the tax cutting president. Jesus, it's just so fucking crazy. If only we had a free press, if only we had some Democrats that could point some of this stuff out. Ready? While I agree with the president in Iraq, and I agree that those devastated by Katrina deserve federal assistance, I do not agree with spending billions of dollars that we simply don't have. Bush's first-term tax cuts served their purpose. Economic growth was stimulated. Objection! Objection! Bush was giving out billions of dollars like candy, like beads at Mardi Gras, if you would. And what did we get for it? What have we gotten for it? The stock market's where it was. Unemployment's where it was. Everything is where it was. And we've gotten nowhere. And he spent all those hundreds of billions. He just gave it away. He gave the hundreds of billions away to the super rich. And they said thank you and didn't hire anybody. Hell, half of them closed up and they got a P.O. box in Aruba. That's what they did with their tax return. You know, they say that we should stop providing a safety net to the poor because look at all the money we spent since Johnson and we still have poor people. But funny, it doesn't work that way on the other end. We've given the trillionaires trillions of extra dollars and yet we're still in this hole. So why should we give them another nickel? We've already seen what happens when you tax the rich. We get unprecedented prosperity for everybody. But no, they don't see it that way. Only the yacht makers and the BMW makers deserve a break. Only the yacht owners and the BMW owners deserve a break. The little people can go right to hell. But they voted for the man, the idiotic little people. What's wrong with you crazy poor people voting for Bush and his tax cuts? What are you, nuts? But now, faced with mounting funding obligations for circumstances that were unforeseen years ago, objection, they were not unforeseen years ago. Clinton had money in there to fix the levees and repair the levees. Bush cut that out. Now we got to pay all that extra money. Instead of giving New Orleans $50 billion, we got to give him $200 and all the dead people. But of course, Halliburton is going to sneak in there and make $100 trillion just off this one disaster. Oh, and as I write this, Rita is headed towards Texas and Louisiana. Remember when they said Katrina hit New Orleans? It was because there was a bunch of faggots in New Orleans. That's why Katrina hit. Well, when Katrina tears Houston apart, will it be because that's where Halliburton and Enron and all them other bastards are? Is that how we play this game, that we figure why a city got hit by a natural disaster and then we assign blame to it depending on who's in the city? I don't wish harm on Houston, but if Houston gets wiped out, if Houston goes under 25 feet of water, I guess we'll just figure it was God getting even with Halliburton and Ken Lay. But now, faced with mounting funding obligations for circumstances that were unforeseen 4 years ago, the stimulation gained by prior tax cut will soon be erased by crippling deficits, and the cuts no longer make sense. Take back our tax cut, Mr. President, perhaps just temporarily. The American people are prepared to do what we need to do, both home and abroad, but let's pay for it today, not tomorrow. For too often, tomorrow never comes. For years, they screamed at us for being the tax and spend liberals. Well, they are the borrow and spend Republicans. You can't invite everyone you know to a $100 dinner at the fanciest steakhouse in town, and then when the bill shows up, say, "What? What's this bill for?" Well, no, you've been spending that money, you crazy man. And then the bill arrives, and it's either going to be paid for by you or your kids. Who are the Republicans that want to, well, again, though, maybe it doesn't matter. If a lot of Republicans are like Bush, if you're super filthy rich, you don't really care if your kids have to pay a little bit higher taxes because your kids are filthy rich. Filthy rich people maybe ought not to be allowed to be in government. Maybe that's part of the deal. If you're so rich, someone like Bush, who's never worked a day in his life, never worked a day in his life. What does he know about hard work that he's always, oh, it's hard work. What do you know about hard work? What, did you dial a phone?
We'll be right back with Bart Cop Radio.